The Food and Drug Administration announced what it calls critical and historic action against retailers and e-cigarette manufacturers this week. The agency is worried about, quote, an epidemic of youth vaping. The agency is ordering 5 e-cigarette companies to submit plans detailing how they're going to prevent teens from using their products. If they fail, the FDA says it may take action, including removing flavored products from the market. In addition, it sent warning letters to more than 1,100 retailers who are selling e-cigarettes to minors. Those sales are illegal under federal law. FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb told CNBC this morning that the steps are necessary to help solve the problem.
We've long said that we see certain benefits potentially from the e-cigarette products for adult smokers who want to migrate off combustible products onto these products, which presumably don't have all the risks associated with them of combustion. But it cannot come at the expense of hooking a whole generation of kids onto nicotine and eventually onto tobacco products. So unfortunately, in order to close the on-ramp to kids, we're going to have to narrow that off-ramp for adults.
Douglas Jornby is a clinical psychologist and professor of medicine at UW-Madison. He's also a researcher with the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Doug, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for inviting me.
So this move from the FDA, is this a big deal?
This is a huge deal. I mean, since Congress gave the FDA the deeming authority over tobacco products and then followed that up with the authority over what are sometimes called ENDS, electronic nicotine delivery systems, this is really the first time that the FDA has used any of that authority to draw a line in the sand, if you will.
Now, take e-cigarettes out of the picture for a moment. How are we doing when it came to teens and nicotine?
In terms of old school smoking, mm-hmm. we actually have been making progress in the last decade or so, seeing rates go down. But then e-cigarettes did appear. Really, I'm ashamed to say, as a public health person and a scientific researcher, out of the blue, it mostly caught us by surprise how quickly these caught on. And they have completely reversed that trend. We're seeing many more, especially middle and high school age people, using e-cigarettes than traditional cigarettes.
Epidemic, the FDA says? Is that, I know public health maybe isn't a completely accurate word, but for the scope, the scale of the problem.
Yeah, if the trends continue the way that we've been seeing it, I think it's really helpful to look at population-wide. We're seeing a little over 3% of adults using e-cigarettes. If you look at middle schoolers, that's about 4%. And if you go up to high school, it jumps up to 11%. So we actually have more of young people using these devices than adults, which is allegedly, like Dr. Gottlieb was saying, the target market for them.
I've seen some people commenting on stories make an argument that goes along the lines of this. Okay, it's better for adults if they're smoking cigarettes to switch to e-cigarettes. Maybe these are kids who would be smoking old-fashioned, traditional, whatever we call them, you know, tobacco cigarettes. So maybe it's a net gain if those potential smokers are smoking e-cigarettes instead of tobacco. Is there anything to that?
Unfortunately, that's an if that kind of goes down in flames. And that's one of the things that we do have relatively reliable data on. When e-cigarettes first started becoming widely available in the States, they were almost all being sold to adults who were already regular cigarette smokers. So yeah, some potential there for harm reduction, even though there's a lot of unknowns about that. Unfortunately, a couple of years ago, Adam Leventhal and some colleagues out in California, looking at their statewide prevalence data, found that among adolescents who had never smoked cigarettes at all, the ones who tried e-cigarettes were over 4 times more likely to start smoking regular cigarettes. And that's since been shown in other national data sets. So there's a clear trend that we've seen here that these actually are a gateway to using old school cigarettes with all of the negative health effects that come with those.
Talking to Doug Jornby from the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, talking about this new action by the FDA, trying to crack down on the sale and marketing of e-cigarettes toward kids, teens. Now, let's talk about what the FDA is doing. What kind of actions are they taking here?
Well, I think there were 2 significant things that came out of the statement yesterday, and some of that was echoed in the introduction that you gave. One was they were talking about a series of stings, if you will, nationwide, where clearly there were convenience stores, there were other outlets that were selling to minors which is something that that's nothing new. The law has prohibited that for some time. So they made a clear statement that these underage sales are happening and need to be addressed. Where I think they stepped forward was Dr. Gottlieb was then basically drawing this line in the sand that within 60 days, and they identified five of the largest market share, but really it comes down to Juul, which has 70% of the e-cigarette market right now. And that came almost out of nowhere within the last couple of years, and says that they have to present, I think, substantial proof to the FDA that they have plans in place to keep their products out of the hands.
Talk about what these newer delivery vehicles look like. Some of them don't look like what we might think of as e-cigarettes and might be much easier to smuggle, bring into a school, use maybe even without somebody catching on.
Yeah, and I think there you've hit it, Cor. A lot of the concern, a lot of the call to action has come from educators. And those devices in particular are in some ways radically different from what's previously been available for e-cigarettes. They resemble kind of a large USB drive. So particularly if you're not up on, you know, electronic cigarette technology or computer savvy, you may not realize when the kid walking down the hall is not carrying, you know, their computer accessory. They also don't produce as much vapor. We were talking earlier about the fact that with the old school e-cigarettes, that's actually seen as a virtue. These are fairly discreet in terms of the amount of vapor that's exhaled when someone uses it. And the other thing that's not obvious, but I think is actually probably more important in the long run, is the Juuls, rather than e-liquid or e-juice, use pods with flavoring and a nicotine salt, and that delivers nicotine in a way that's much closer to what a traditional cigarette would do. So when we're thinking about people becoming dependent on nicotine, that's a big increase in the risk factor.
The FDA says, hey, if you big companies that have so much market share, Juul and the others, don't do something about this, we're going to look at limitations on what you can sell. I assume this doesn't mean completely banning e-cigs, but what kind of options would they consider?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, and I have no idea what the thought is at the FDA. I mean, they actually technically do have that ability, unlike with cigarettes, where the congressional legislation specifically prohibited them from banning cigarettes entirely. E-cigarettes, that could be on the board. I suspect what's more likely is the obvious target is going to be looking at the flavorings. So different kinds of e-juice, the pods that are used in the Juuls, a number of them come in flavors that are fruit, or in some ways they're, you know, candy, cereal. And we know those are really appealing to young people. That's kind of the starter set, if you will.
Is there an issue here that people think these companies are deliberately marketing to kids with products that seem stealthy enough to use in a school? There were, I think, ones that looked like juice boxes at some point, too, with kid-sounding flavors. It's not just, oh, an unfortunate side effect here.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about some of the marketing, the things that really you have to look very carefully to realize that it's e-liquid and not a juice box. I personally, having worked with people who are quitting smoking for decades, find it really hard to imagine somebody that's, you know, used to smoking a pack a day of Camel Straights or Marlboros, you know, picking up a creme brulee flavor pod. It just doesn't seem to track very well.
Now, closer to home, we have the Neenah Common Council. They're scheduled to vote next week on a proposed ordinance that would ban all vaping by minors. Here's Assistant City Attorney Adam Vandenhuvel on Fox 11 News.
Bans any minor from possessing or using any vapor product, whether it has nicotine in it or not, anywhere in the city. So that can be in the school, that can be in a park, on the sidewalk. Anyone under the age of 18 will not be allowed to vape anywhere in the city.
And this added a new wrinkle to the story for me. I assumed vaping meant it had nicotine. It's already, minors aren't supposed to have nicotine-bearing electronic cigarettes. There's vaping without nicotine in it.
Technically, there is, although it's shocking when, adolescents are surveyed, close to 60% of them don't necessarily realize that there's nicotine in what they're vaping, even when it does contain that and it's labeled as such. But I think in terms of what they're proposing in Neenah, at the very least, it's practical, because there's no way to expect law enforcement or public health people to be able to walk by where someone's vaping on a device and be able to say, aha, you have nicotine in your e-juice. It's just realistically not going to happen.
We're talking about the push to limit vaping by teenagers. New announcements coming from the FDA. Doug Jornby is with us, clinical psychologist and professor of medicine at UW-Madison, and a researcher with the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. You can join in. What do you think? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Is the FDA right to threaten e-cigarette companies if they don't limit sales to minors? Are you worried about teens using e-cigarettes? Do you see it in your community, your school, your own family? How far should the FDA go to restrict availability of e-cigarettes if these companies can't prevent kids from using them? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. We're talking about the FDA's warning to e-cigarette makers and retailers to cut down on teen vaping or risk having some of their products maybe taken off of shelves. The city of Neenah is also considering an ordinance that would ban all vaping, nicotine, or otherwise by minors. Doug Jornby is with us, clinical psychologist, professor of medicine at UW-Madison. He's with the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. How concerned are you about teens using e-cigarettes? Do your kids vape? If you're a teenager yourself, a high school student, have you used e-cigarettes? Do you see your classmates doing it? And big picture, how would you like to see these products regulated? Should they be cracked down on? Some flavors taken off the market, some styles of delivery making maybe regulated more carefully? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Doug, we heard a definition question from Leah in Green Bay. Leah wonders, is there a difference between e-cigarettes and vaping? I tend to use them synonymously. Am I right?
Pretty much, yeah. Although some people actually do use the e-cigarette device in a different way. There's something called dripping, where people actually expose what the chamber is called, the cartomizer in it, and will drip e-liquid onto it, which actually delivers a more potent dose. And some of the technology is a little bit agnostic, so people put things that are not nicotine in the solution as well.
Now, another issue I've seen come up here is the idea that people who are of age, not minors, buy lots and lots of stuff online from these manufacturers or distributors, and then resell it. They're straw purchases who sell to minors.
Mm. Yeah, that's not something I have much experience with, but yeah. It certainly makes sense.
Is that something you'd hope to see regulated if that is happening?
Yeah, well, that would be a tricky thing to do.
And briefly, let's talk about a huge debate going on about the relative healthiness and unhealthiness of vaping as compared to cigarettes. What's the kind of state of science on that for that person who is smoking cigarettes?
Sure. Well, I think you have to start with the baseline. When you think about the cigarette, when that's used as directed, ultimately it kills about half of people who are regular daily smokers. So it's hard not to do better than that. We know e-cigarettes don't deliver carbon monoxide. They don't deliver as many carcinogens, but this is something where research is kind of frantically trying to catch up with what's happening in the real world. So there are some concerns that have arisen that are specific to e-cigarettes, the effect of propylene glycol when it's inhaled in the lungs, but there's a lot that we don't know yet.
So they do less harm. That doesn't mean they're harmless.
Perfect way to encapsulate that, yeah.
Let's go to our callers now. Robbie is online in Greenfield. Robbie, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you think?
I think we're looking at the market and making decisions because they don't have, gosh,
All right, Robbie, I'll let you collect your thoughts there for a little bit, and then we'll go back to the phones in just a moment. Has there been a lot of criticism of these companies, Doug, for marketing flavors that might appeal to kids, as we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's certainly an easy target, especially for people that are concerned about the risks of young people, you know, taking this up, particularly as we were talking before, who might not otherwise have been exposed to cigarettes at all.
All right, we'll go now to Lyman in Edgerton. Lyman, hi.
Hi, I'm Lyman from Edgerton, home of the Tobacco Heritage Days. One of the thoughts that I had on this subject, and an excellent subject, Rob, thank you for the show, was that, you know, big tobacco or tobacco companies are notorious for their lobbying efforts. And I'm wondering, the FDA's comment about removing these vaping products from the market entirely seemed kind of aggressive. And I wonder if the quick growth in the vaping products market, maybe their lobbying efforts, I hate to sound too pessimistic, but maybe their lobbying efforts haven't caught up to the growth of the market. And what role is that that lobbying may be playing in this whole sort of drama as it unfolds?
Lyman, thanks for the call. So I guess a concern there that, okay, if we do dial back on e-cigarettes, does that ultimately help the big tobacco industry again?
Well, that's a complex question, and the tobacco industry has not survived and prospered as much as it has by, you know, being dumb. And in fact, at this point, all of the major international tobacco companies have acquired at least one e-cigarette company. So we were talking about how Juul has 70% of the market, but some of the others that were specified by Dr. Gottlieb, including Vuse and Mark 10, those are owned by big tobacco companies.
Lyman, thanks for that call. We're talking to Douglas Jornby from the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, talking about teens and e-cigarettes, teens and vaping. The FDA says time for manufacturers and retailers to figure out a way to make sure teens aren't using their products. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Go back to our callers now. David is on the line in Beloit. David, hi.
Hi. Great topic. My comments are on nicotine itself. We use it in the farm as on chicken roost to kill the lice on their feet. And as far as I know, it's the only legitimate use for nicotine. Otherwise, it's toxic. It's a poison. We've been ingesting it in cigarettes for a long time. Now it shows up in vape. For whatever reason, I don't know, but it's a deadly product. It shouldn't be ingested in any way. And then it appeals to youngsters, like you said, when they flavor it to entice them. And my thoughts are it's just dumb.
David, thanks for the call. Yeah, you think of nicotine as the addictive part and the stuff that comes along with it. The other things in the tobacco are the dangerous part. Is there something inherently, apart from the addictive side of it, inherently unhealthy about nicotine itself, Doug?
Yeah, nicotine itself, as David said, it's not just mites that it kills. You know, at a sufficient dose, it's quite lethal to people, too. Using vaping or cigarettes, most people are able to titrate the dose, so that doesn't happen. But unfortunately, with increased sales of e-liquid, there have been cases every year of particularly, you know, very, very young children that drink or spill the liquid on themselves because the nicotine is absorbed through the skin. And that can, unfortunately, be fatal.
Thanks a lot for that call, David. Do we have any sense, I don't know if there's numbers like this, on how we're doing in Wisconsin in particular, more or fewer kids using e-cigarettes?
Yeah, we don't have great statewide data, but we're pretty close to the national norms with that.
All right. Thanks again for that call. What happens next? What the FDA has given this timeline to companies. As you said earlier, you don't know what exactly the FDA is thinking here, but what are you watching for as the companies try theoretically to tackle this problem?
Well, I'm sure the next 2 months are going to be extraordinarily busy for them as they scramble to come up with a plan. And I honestly don't know what that would look like, whether they would voluntarily, say, pull away some of the flavors that, you know, are easy targets for regulation, whether they're going to push back hard against this. Certainly, Juul has been stressing that they don't target adolescents and they're actually helping adults use less of their product.
So what are you watching for now as we go forward with e-cigarette use among teens and when we hit a tipping point where maybe the numbers start to come back down?
Well, probably at some point they will. The real question, I think, from a public health point of view is how many of those people then convert to cigarette smokers? Because that's certainly what we've seen with adults, where the appeal of using e-cigarettes to get off traditional cigarettes is there. But unfortunately, we know the vast majority of those people don't. They become dual users. So they vape sometimes, they smoke sometimes.
So if we're going to keep these away from teens, do we need to start thinking about treating nicotine addiction for teens to make sure when the e-cigarettes go away, they don't just start finding regular cigarettes?
And I think that'll definitely be necessary for at least some people.
We'll leave it there for now. Doug, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
I've been talking to Doug Jornby, clinical psychologist and professor of medicine at UW-Madison. He's also a researcher with the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. I've been talking about the FDA's call for e-cigarette makers and retailers to curb vaping use by teens and a threat by the FDA that they might regulate those products more strictly if the companies don't come up with a plan. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, don't drain the swamp. Not the real life swamps anyway. Our guest makes the case that wetlands are important for things like flood prevention, biodiversity, and reducing the impact of climate change. We'll meet a Wisconsin farmer who's opening up conversations about mental health and suicide in rural Wisconsin. He has a lot of stories to share. And on Food Friday, Got Leftovers, we'll check out a cookbook that helps us use them up in non-boring ways. That look at some of the top news stories of the day. It's all coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.